All right, I'd like to welcome everybody tonight to the Commissioners' Meeting, Monday, February the 7th, 2022. And I'd like to start out by asking Commissioner Thompson if he would give us an invocation and lead us in a pledge. If everybody would, please rise.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together tonight to carry forward the business of the county. We ask for your patience and wisdom as we carry forward what's in the best interest of the people of this county. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. All right. Anybody have anything they need to add to tonight's agenda?
I do not.
No, sir.
Mr. Branson?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if it pleases the board, I would like to add Mr. Frankie Wood, who is our local DOT engineering technician. He's going to introduce to you our new county maintenance engineer, and they'll also stay to hear your road concerns tonight.
What point you want to add them?
When I hear the road concerns, Mr. Chairman, and I'll make their introduction when it's time.
Okay. Pleasure to board?
So moved.
Okay, I got a motion and a second to add that to the agenda and accept the agenda otherwise. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry. All right. I need a motion to approve the minutes of the January 24th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carry. Okay, I'm assuming everybody's looked through the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
I got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry. All right, that gives us to item number one, public comment, if you will. See if we have one.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we had one individual sign up for public comments, Mr. Timothy Glaspie. He signed up earlier this afternoon and said he would be back tonight, but I do not know if he's here or not. Do not see him. Otherwise, no one else has signed up for public comments, Mr. Chairman.
Are we sure he's not sitting outside? Will somebody please check?
I just checked.
Okay.
Oh, he is here.
Okay.
That's not him.
All right. Well, the fact that he is not back, we will move on to item number two. Mr. Branson?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, at this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Frankie Wood, who is our district engineering technician at DOT, and he's going to introduce our new county maintenance engineer.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are y'all doing tonight?
Good. Wonderful.
Thank y'all for having us. I just wanted, as in the past, I know that y'all have been used to dealing with myself and Mr. Chris Rhodes for any of your highway concerns with DOT. Chris has retired December 1st, and so I'd like to introduce you to Daniel Jones. He's our new county maintenance engineer. He will be in charge of our unit at Luplin Maintenance. So I just wanted to make a formal introduction, so put faces with names and so everybody would know.
Welcome aboard.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for the opportunity. Look forward to a bright future here in Luplin County. I'm right across the county line. It's where I was born and raised in Onslow County near Cypress Creek. I got roots here and just look forward to improving, working in a positive direction, you know, collectively as a team for the citizens of Luplin County from North Carolina. Thank y'all.
Thank you. We're glad to have you.
Welcome aboard.
So at this time, if any members of the board have any road or highway concerns that I can take down so I can address with Daniel Wafrakey. I'd be glad to take those at this time. Commissioner Dow?
I have none at this time.
Thank you. Commissioner Thompson?
I don't have any.
Does any member of the public have any road concerns that you would like to address with DOT at this time? Yes, ma'am.
When you're coming, when I'm coming to go home.
Which way is home? Which way is home, ma'am?
Magnolia.
Okay.
Magnolia back home from Warsaw, I work to. In Warsaw.
Okay.
Over there by that track, there's a big hole on that side. I don't know where you're going from.
Is it on 117 or is it on
it's
a side road? Okay, is
it's
it on?
Before you get to where they, where you buy them big trucks.
Triple T.
You know what I'm talking about? You see that big old hole in that highway? It's not in the highway, it's on the shoulder.
On the shoulder.
Yeah.
You're probably talking about that. We have a big cross line there that we're working on a solution for that problem.
There's a big flood issue there, is there not?
Yeah, it is. And there, part of the reason is in the past we've had trouble with keeping the shoulder there.
Yeah.
Because all of that water goes there, and so we've had to actually build the shoulder up a little bit to keep it from washing, but we're working on a more permanent solution for that.
Is that the issue you're talking about, ma'am, right in that area?
Right there by Triple T, in that bottom.
Triple T. Yeah, for the dam, right up that hill where that double wide shard is.
What's the nearest intersecting highway?
You want to talk
about? Johnson Church Road is the nearest, I believe.
But it's dangerous. What I'm saying is dangerous because if anybody try to stop on the side of that road at nighttime, they're gonna go in that canal, so you're not gonna be able to see.
But it's close to the truck place you're talking about. The place itself,
it's further down.
Further down.
Back
toward Magnolia or Warsaw?
No. Back toward Warsaw.
I think I know which truck.
Between the grain elevators and the diesel place, the Triple T place? Between I-40 and...
You know where
that... If you can get me an address that's close to it...
When I come to there tomorrow...
And call the office...
Give me your phone number.
I will. And call the office and let us know. We'll address it.
And ma'am, I neglected to tell you this before you started, but can you give me your name? Because I have to record this in a minute.
My name is Joyce Pearsall.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Pearsall. Anyone?
Excuse me, I apologize. I wasn't able to get a chair, but my name is Wesley Boykin. I do have a road concern. I don't know whether or not it is town, the Warsaw state, or county, but Hill Street, West Hill Street, going out of town. Past the tracks, but going out of town, still floods, and it's so ironic that this is on the agenda because it was terribly flooded as I was driving to get here.
Okay, on Penny Branch Road?
Yes, and I brought this up before, in that trench,
yes, sir.
And I don't know the name of the street that runs adjacent to the lodge, and it intersects with Hill Street right at the church, the First Baptist Church. Those trenches still flood.
That's North Street.
They've done a lot of road repair, but they haven't done much to the water.
Now, the street, I believe, that runs beside your residence in front of the lodge, that would be a town street. But now Hill Street and Penny Branch Road, I believe DOT has some responsibility for, so they'll check that out. But otherwise, I would refer you to the town manager in Warsaw, Mr. Summerlin, Mayor Connors, or I'll be glad to call him for you.
We represented at the town Warsaw commissioners meeting as well. Numerous times, and I've taken tons of pictures over the last 3 or 4 years and shared the photos. They have been out there. I just simply wanted to remain on the agenda because it may get lost through the tracks.
Okay.
And it's as a result of the rains today, the floods are very evident. But if you were to come back later on in the week, it may appear to be dry and non-problematic.
Is it on the Warsaw side of the tracks or on the other side?
Going out of town, it is gotten much worse because there are tons and tons and tons of trucks humongous trucks going to the new factories that are being built outside of town into the county, but before it crosses over into Sampson County. So that is the street, Hill Street, West Hill Street, going out of town westward.
I know we did some work. Mm-hmm. We did some work on Hill Street.
About 6 months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about 6 months ago to try to alleviate some of the flooding that was happening there. I'm thinking this may be on further.
This is on further down towards where the old block plant.
It actually begins in town and goes all the way just past the church. Okay. So again, when I call one municipality or entity, I get a story of exactly what is county, which part is state, which part is town. But the problem we have is
a lot of times whenever we intermingle with town streets, the water may run down our right of way and then it ends up going on the town property to get away from the right of way. So sometimes we share
it's kind of like when you repair it all at once, you resolve the problem, but when you take care of one problem, it takes it to another,
right.
And in this case, probably to another jurisdiction as well, which compounds it and makes it even worse for the residents. And again, I got documentation of photos being sent to the town for the last 5-6 years, and brilliantly portrays the floods, and it spills over into the streets.
Dr. Borkin, when we talked about this maybe 6 months or so ago,
yes.
Did things improve afterwards and
it
deteriorated?
There's activity, but the fact that I'm talking about it now lets you see that whatever improvements happened, it probably temporary and surface.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Borkin.
Be right on right here.
Peace.
You can write right there.
Before we get out on Penny Branch Road.
I'll call the Greg
about
it.
I know he has a problem beside his residence, but that's because the ditches don't go under the road. They deadhead at each drive going down that side street. Dr. Wesley Boykin. Okay. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Branson, item number 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, normally we give out our service award pins at our annual Christmas luncheon for our employees and award ceremony. Of course, we have not been able to have that in the past couple of years due to COVID. So we have some individuals here tonight who I would like to recognize for having 20 and 25 years of service with Duplin County government. Now, I felt like these milestone service awards need to be recognized. So that's why I've asked them to come before the Board of Commissioners tonight to receive their certificates and a pin. Would you like to hand them out, Mr. Chairman, or would you like for me to do it?
Just go ahead.
Okay, thank you. The first individual that we will be recognizing is Ms. Rose Carnegie for 20 years of service to our health department. Rose is also our infectious disease nurse, so she's been quite busy for the last 24 months. She's at the spearhead of our COVID effort, and I want to thank you, Rose, for everything that you've done. I present you this on behalf of the Board of Commissioners, myself, and your department head, the health director, Ms. Simmons Carnegie, and also give you this service award PM. Now, I'd like for you to stay in here if you could, because I'd like to get a picture of all of you standing in front of the Board of Commissioners, if you would, okay? Thank you, Rose.
next individual I would like to recognize also has 20 years of service, Ms. Terry S. Lanier. Terry, would come up. Terry has been working in the tax office for 20 years, and she's currently a tax assistant, too. And we want to thank you for all of your hard work and dedication through the years. So here's your certificate. You're welcome. And here is your pen, recognizing your 20 years.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. The next individual, also with 20 years service, is Ms. Gwenda S. Swan. I believe Gwenda is out in the lobby.
Here she comes. Come on in, Ms. Swan. What an entry.
Everybody knows Gwen. I went to high school with Gwen, old classmate. I'm not going to say too much. Gwen is a public information assistant 4 at the Department of Social Services, and she also has 20 years of service. And thank you for all your service and dedication throughout the year. You're welcome. I'm going to give you this little pen. I want you to wear it around.
Don't say
no. Stay in here so we can get your picture now. And the next individual, also with 20 years service, is Ms. Sarita Sutherland. Sarita is a social work supervisor 3 in the foster care unit, but I believe right now she's our interim program manager. Is that correct?
Yes.
Congratulations, thank Sarita. You. Well deserved. Thank you. All right, the next group of individuals I would like to recognize have 25 years of service with Duplin County government. Miss Phyllis Drass. Phyllis is a social worker 3 in our foster care unit, taking care of our foster children. And I want to thank you for all of your hard work and dedication, Phyllis.
Thank you.
25 years, that's a real milestone. You're welcome. The next individual is Miss Annie Merle. Annie has 25 years service at the Department of Social Services, and she is currently a social work supervisor 3 in our adult protective services, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for all of your hard work and dedication. We really appreciate it, Annie. And last but certainly not least tonight, we have Ms. Stella Simpson. Stella also has 25 years service, and she is a child support agent 2 at the Department of Social Services. I want to thank you for all your hard work and dedication. You're welcome. We also have one more individual with 25 years service, Lieutenant Highsmith from the Sheriff's Department, but he is on the Beulahville Town Council, and they were meeting tonight, so he's going up here at your next meeting.
Okay.
So now if I could have all of the ladies to come up and just spread yourself out in front of the Board of Commissioners, we want to get a picture or two. Yeah, bring your certificates with
so much. Okay, Mr. Branson, if you would, now let's do item number 3.
Okay. Give me just a moment.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I appear before you now to request a public hearing be scheduled for March the 7th, 2022 to receive public comments regarding a request from Mr. Clifton Murphy to name a lane at 169 Old NC 24 Beulahville at the Limestone Township Honey Bee Lane in accordance with the Duplin County Addressing and Road Naming Ordinance.
Pleasure to board.
So moved.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to approve the public hearing. Any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Thank you, Mr. Branson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now we'll move to item number five, Mr. Joe McKenzie.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here tonight to make a presentation on behalf of the Duplin County Water System SCADA System Improvements Project. At this time, the plans and specifications are complete, and we are ready to advertise the project for the receipt of proposals. Back in July, I met with the board, and the board authorized the county to proceed with the project using American Rescue Plan Act funds. And so the project cost is $1,621,000. And that's based on cost estimate that was prepared some months ago. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have about the project.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. McKenzie?
Move to approve.
I got a motion. A second. We've got a motion and a second to authorize McDavid and Associates Incorporated to advertise the Duplin County Water Department SCADA System Improvement Project for the receipt of proposals. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
McKenzie.
Thank you,
Chair. All right, Mr. Branson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The Duplin County Event Center has been awarded a state appropriation grant in the amount of $500,000 through the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to fund additional paved parking at the Event Center facility. The Department of Agriculture has forwarded a notification of funding offer and a contract to the county to receive the funds, which will be allocated in two separate payments on February 26th and March 26, 2022. The funds have been must be expended by June 30th, 2023. Once the funding is received, the county manager and my staff will secure a firm to design the project, and then it will be built out for construction. It is anticipated that the project will take 6 to 12 months to complete once the funding is received. The acceptance of this funding requires no county match. This is an outright grant from the state. I would ask that the board accept the $500,000 on behalf of the event center.
So moved.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to accept the $500,000. Any discussion?
I have one question for you, Mr. Princeton. In regards to the project, can you share what are some of the benefits to the county to have such an endeavor to take place at the event center? Other than just the parking lot, can you speak to some of the things that it will provide as it pertains to events that take place out at the
Event Center? Excellent question, Commissioner Branch. We anticipate paving. Currently, there's a gravel road leading into the office side of the Event Center. If you're looking at the Event Center on the right side, we will pave that access road into the facility and also pave a parking lot on that side of the facility for visitors to the office and also for workers who come to work events. Now, we need this access road paved because during hurricanes and other natural disasters, the Event Center also becomes our staging point for relief supplies. And we have to get tractor trailers inside that facility. As you can imagine, after a hurricane and several days of heavy rainfall, and then we bring trucks in and out that road, it can become very muddy and treacherous. So we will gain access into the facility with a paved road, which will also help the drive-through events like we've had with the COVID testing and immunization events. But I think we'll also be able to pave another parking lot in front of the event center across the access road that goes in front of it in that grassy field, which will allow the visitors to festivals and events to have paved parking instead of having to park in the grassy field and walk into the event center through the grass and the mud. So, and if there are additional funds available, we will resurface the parking lot that's already in front of the event center and restripe that as well. But we're going to contract with an engineering firm to tell us exactly what we need and how much it'll cost, and then we'll base our budget off of that, Commissioner Branch. That was a good question. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Right. Also, the gate and different things of that nature, the access to that particular area.
Yes, sir. We have been brought to our attention by the event center manager and also the tourism chairman, Mr. Fife, that we
right,
need
I'm on
to
the
look
board,
at
so it. It's,
yes,
it's
sir.
A lot of other things that we look as opportunities.
To have an electronic gate, maybe
right,
with a keypad
the paving,
on it, to control
the
access
paving,
better.
It's muddy at times and prevents access.
So the $500,000 can be used on the gate as well, not just on pavement?
We will verify that with the State Office of Budget and Management so we do not get in trouble with the state. But we think it can be used to control access to the parking pads. Yes, sir.
Okay, any further questions? Just to clarify, you know, this motion that's on the floor also is a budget amendment and designating the county manager authorizing authority to sign the grant related to the document. Just wanted to make sure that we had that verified before we voted. Any other discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Okay, I believe that brings us to item number 7. Matthew Barwick.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for allowing me to present to you tonight. I request that we accept grant funding offered by the State of North Carolina Emergency Management Division. This grant funding is in the same manner of what we receive every year. However, during the COVID pandemic, they allowed us a supplemental fund, which allows a small-ish amount of money to allow us to update our plans to include the pandemic related information, such as our emergency operations plan, which we use during hurricanes and so on and so forth, sheltering, and that helps supplement us to be able to have that funding and that time for employees to update that. So as long as we meet those benchmarks, as we have, there should be no questions about having to get those benchmarks done to get the funding and the funds that were already there were budgeted last year in the salary line. So it should not cost the county any money at all over what's already been budgeted.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to accept the $12,695.45 and the associated budget amendment. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to item number 8. Ms. Jones.
Good evening.
Good evening.
In your packet, you have a copy of the digital inclusion plan for the county. This was initiated in the Band NC grant that we received. I spoke last time about the surveys that went out, the online surveys and the mailed surveys, and we had close to 800 responses between those two. And in the back of the plan, there is anecdotal information taken from all the surveys that really points to the gaps and the needs and the trouble that our citizens have with the lack of adequate broadband. So approving and accepting this digital inclusion plan is just one step further in our digital equity plan, and it puts us in good stead for funding in the future. There's supposed to be another round of the Band NC money coming. He was here last time with Focus. I can't remember his name.
Chris Ward.
Chris Ward spoke of that. And so this is something that has to be in place before we're eligible for another round of funding. And it also puts us in line for other grant opportunities. There's an adaptive technologies grant that's available, and so it's just a piece of the puzzle that helps us show where our needs are. So.
Pleasure to board.
Move to accept.
Second.
We got a motion and a second to accept, to approve the Duplin County Digital Plan to be used to make application for further grants designed and bring broadband connection and digital grid to the county. Sorry. Any further discussion?
It chokes me up too, Mr. Edwards.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Carried.
I'm sorry.
I'll keep looking for money. Thank y'all so much.
We appreciate it. All right, brings us to item number 9, Ms. Stokes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here once again about the surplus property at 648 Cornwallis Road in Teachy, formerly known as the Duff Creek Community Center. This property was advertised for upset bid on January 13th, and bids were collected for a 10-day upset bid period until 5 p.m. on January 24th. The highest bid received during that period was submitted on January 18th in the amount of $100,000 by Church Iglesia Sinai Nuevo Renacer of Wallace, and they provided the 5% required deposit. So I'm asking that the board accept the bid and direct me to advertise for upset bids.
So move.
Second.
That's a motion and a second to accept. Okay. To accept the bid of $100,000 from the church. I'm not going to try that. I'm not going to try that. As hard a time as I had with the last one, I'm definitely not trying that one. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to number 10, Gary Rhodes.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
General Statute 105-369 requires on the first Tuesday of the month of February, the tax collector report the amount of unpaid taxes on the current year. That figure is $2,435,987.56 out of the original levy of $30,814,640.23. That statute also requires that the board order these taxes to be advertised in the newspaper, and we generally do that in March or the first of April.
Pleasure to board.
I move we proceed forward with it.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to move forward with the advertisement. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. All right. Thank you, Mr. Rose. That brings us to item number 11, Mr. McMahon.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I appear before you tonight to ask that you approve the paramedic career plan that was placed in your packet. This plan would allow current EMT and EMT intermediates to obtain their paramedic certification. This plan would pay current EMTs and EMT intermediates $1,500 once they pass their state exam, paramedic exam that is, and another $1,500 once they pass the oral boards with the medical director, Dr. Nigge. In return, they would sign an agreement that they would work with us for 2 years once they pass the oral boards with Dr. Carnegie. This plan also only allows 8 employees to take advantage of the program, so we would only allow 8 of our current employees right now to take the class. The class at James Front Community College is centered around 2 of our shifts, so they wouldn't miss any work if they chose to go to one of those shifts that it is centered around.
Pleasure to board.
Move to accept.
I got a motion and a second to accept the EMS career advancement plan. Further discussion?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Did you have the 8 people at this time?
Currently, we have 5. We had 7, 2 backed out.
Okay, are they making an application to it, or are you just selecting them, or giving everybody an opportunity?
Yeah, we told everybody about the possibility of this. They were to ask their supervisor. Their supervisor was then to write a letter of recommendation to our training officer. Our training officer then would write a recommendation, recommend them based on their clinical capabilities. Their supervisor recommended them based on their operational capabilities for our service.
Okay, I got one other question. Are there any persons that are not qualified because it's open to all EMTs? And if they are working on the streets out here, are they not qualified to pursue further education opportunities to be a paramedic?
Yes, sir, they are. They can go to any class they want to. We have one in Sampson Community College right now who should be finishing up in May. She's getting an associate's degree. I have one in at Onslow right now who's in the program kind of like this one is, but it's one day a week. So they do have other opportunities. However, with our lack of applications for paramedics, we felt like that if we gave them some type of incentive to go to school and get their paramedic, that this will not only help us to fill these positions, but also retain them for at least 2 years.
Okay, thank you for that. But my question is actually, I should have made it more simple, but are there any EMTs that are not qualified to pursue this?
No, sir. All EMTs and EMT intermediates were given this opportunity. So they were all told, hey, this is the opportunity. They were all qualified essentially to apply to get a letter of recommendation from their supervisor and from the training officer. Nobody that applied for it was turned down.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Garner?
Yes, sir, my question.
Is this a one-time opportunity? Because you said that you had room for 8 and asking for permission for 8, but at this point you only have 5. Yes. So if you only have 5 this time, would you come back with another class for the other 3, or is this time and this time only?
That would be that we would have to work in conjunction with the college, and the reason why I say that is that the college worked with us to get this class and to schedule it around their schedules. So if the college will work with us again next year when they do their class and do it around 2 shifts, then we would entertain this same idea if you would approve it. However, if we only have 32 paramedic positions. So with this right here, we would fill we would put these people in a work against slot, and then we would fill these EMT positions. So we would be technically currently full with paramedics. So that would also play a role in it.
Do you have an idea as to why the 2 backed out?
No, sir, I do not. One backed out. He was going to B-Let. He changed his mind and went to B-Let. And the other one, I cannot tell you off the top of my head why they backed out.
Okay. Other opportunities for one, right?
Yes, sir. My training officer's out there. He might answer that. He told me that them 2 backed out at the last minute. Okay. I know one started B-Let, but I'm not sure about the other one.
I got you.
The 2 that did back out, they decided to go to Sampson Community College because they do currently offer a degree program for EMS, and that was their goal, was to go for a degree.
So they had different personal options that would.
Sure.
Okay. Any further questions? So for clarification, this is a one-time offer. So what we vote on tonight is allowing you the 8 individuals, but if you don't get 8, then it's still you would come back for another request for another time if you only get 5, but at this point you can't. It's one time opportunity because that's the only time the college is offering it, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. The class has started, correct?
Yes, sir, it started January 26th.
I just wanted to make sure where we were.
So do we need to amend the motion to five or leave it at eight? Because it doesn't look like you're going to be able to pick up three midstream.
No, he won't this year. He'll just fill five.
It's just going to be five.
Yeah, it'll be five this year.
I guess my one question, Brandon, the way we drafted this, training at James Front Community College or comparable institutions, so with the two that were going to Samson, could they not theoretically still qualify for this if they wanted to do it?
That would be a question for the board and for Mr. Brinson. I personally would think they would at least qualify for $1,500. That would be my preference once they pass their exam because they did go out on their own and get it. But that would be the preference of the board. And
let's talk about those two individuals in my office tomorrow, and then if we have a recommendation, we'll come back to the board at your next meeting and make that. I think I need some more particulars on those individuals before I say yes or no.
So that means we need to leave it at eight, right?
Yes, sir.
We need to.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I need clarification. Are we five or eight?
Eight.
Eight.
Okay, just.
Okay.
I need a clarification. So this is for eight.
But he's only bound to five at this point.
And
if I could clarify in your motion, we're approving the EMS Career Advancement Plan, and we're also approving the Duplin County Educational Incentive and Reimbursement Agreement for prospective paramedics. So we get the agreement, which in has the language drafted by our county attorney.
Okay.
That gives them the binds them to a 2-year agreement.
Yep.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Brandon.
That moves us to item number 12, Ms. Tracy Simmons-Kanigi.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners. I come before you tonight with an acceptance of some additional COVID funding. It is for agreement addendum 620. It's some ARPA COVID school health team workforce funding. This agreement addendum will provide temporary funding for the local health department to support school nurses and other school health serving positions. That could be a variety of different ones to provide services to students. People in these positions will serve as members of the school-based health team collaborating with the local school health program to provide COVID-19 support and response in school. Supporting positions may include supplementing the salaries of current positions to improve retention, recruiting, and creating and or hiring new student serving positions to fill gaps in the school-based healthcare team and or contracting for positions to fill these to foster a healthier school students and schools here in our county. So we come before you guys tonight to accept the funding for agreement AA620 for Duplin County, which is $195,240 and including in a budget amendment for this current year.
So moved.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to accept American Rescue Plan Act COVID-19 School Health Plan Workforce AA620, funding in the amount of $195,240 on behalf of Duplin County Health Department, and approve the associate budget amendment. Any further discussion?
No question.
Okay.
Director Kanigi, in terms of the schools now, and I'm thinking that this may afford us the opportunity to have more nurses at the school to help in the effort as far as COVID-related matters. Is that kind of what?
So currently right now, each county, each public school does have a school nurse who has a BSN, and they also hired assistants to help each school nurse has also been placed for COVID. So we are awaiting additional direction from the state to see what it looks like with DPI and DHHS, and then what does that look like. We currently at the health department have a school health nurse liaison and an assistant for that. So do we expand that to help our school nurses? So we'll have to talk with the school, Dr. O, and the school board to figure out what's the better need for our county.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Ms. Carnegie, before you leave.
Okay.
And I'm not putting you on the spot because you didn't have the information ready, but have we started down a little bit? It seemed like in January we were constantly climbing, but I want to think the last couple of weeks maybe we're
yep.
scaling
so
down.
So I did bring some numbers. I'm prepared. So as of today, Duplin County is at a 29% positivity rate, and that's a rolling 14 days, and the state is at 19.3. Over the last 7 days, we've averaged about 37 positive cases per day. Today, I think we had 42, and so think of that as of 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and what came in this morning. Of the last 14 days, we average about 65 positives per day. To give you a little bit of numbers, the week of November 21st, we were at 4.4% positive. The week of November 28th, we were at 9.1% positive. And then the week of January 16th, we went up to 40.4% positive, which is the highest yet we've had thus far in this pandemic. Prior to January 16th of this year, our previous highest was from the week of May 10th of 2020 at 26.5%. Last week, we were at 32.5%, so we are trending downward.
Thank you for those updates.
And just another reference I think is interesting. Of last year, for the year of 2021, we averaged about 7,200 positive cases. Thus far this year, we're at 5,500 positive cases. That's been reported. That does not include home test kits, so we probably have already surpassed what we had previously last year.
So, quick math, how many positives does your department have on the books total since the pandemic started?
Well, you're at least at 12,000. I'm not for sure what she has in 2020. Okay. So 5,500 thus far this year, about 7,200 for 2021.
And you got the at-home test kits.
Yep. And then what happened in 2020?
Okay, thanks.
Do we have a way to track our employees, like the school system are doing their employees and students, to know how many we've got that are out, that are positive, or out for contact tracing, or whatever that is?
Yes, sir. HR tracks that information.
Okay. How are you with help? With the extra help coming in at night, with the emails we sent out?
So this week we have not used anybody. This week I have not sent out the email. But as of the whole county employees, it was probably about 40 that responded that have been willing to help. And there's probably of those that have been about 10 or 12 that are reoccurring that are always there to help us. So, and it's been a tremendous help the last 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Branson, item number 13.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the health department's roof and the fact that it is leaking. The water penetration of the roof has caused some damage to ceiling tile, grid systems, ceiling tiles, sheetrock, carpeting, furniture, etc. In the past, in order to try to address the water penetration of the roofing system, both our county facilities and maintenance department and the contractors that have been hired by the county have applied sealants and taken other measures in an attempt to stop the leaks, but without success. At the request of myself and the assistant county manager, an engineer by the name of Jerry Moorfield conducted a preliminary inspection at no cost of the roofing system and suggested a water test be undertaken in an attempt to identify the source of the leaks. Our maintenance department went up on the roof and used water hoses to try and find the source of the leaks, but they could not find the source. Therefore, Mr. Moorfield, the engineer, has determined that the only adequate measure that can be undertaken at this point to properly address the existing leaks and the improper installation of the original metal roof, in his opinion, is the replacement of the entire roof with a standing seam metal roofing system.
I believe that in order to eliminate the risk of future structural damage, we should proceed with this project as soon as possible. The proposal from from Moorfield Engineering for the evaluation, re-roof planning, creation of specifications, and the bidding services is $14,850, and then another $5,500 for construction administration once the project is funded, for a total of $20,350. Now keep in mind, the removal of the existing roof and the installation of the new roofing system is going to have to take place while the health department is open to the public and operational. So this is going to be a challenge, but I think the engineering firm can help us move through the process as efficiently and as safely as possible. I'd like to go ahead and get the ball rolling on this because I don't want us to be putting a new roof on the health department during the middle of hurricane season. So I would request that you accept the consulting engineering design services proposal from Moorfield Engineering Structural Engineers in the amount not to exceed $20,350 for the re-roofing of the Dubin County Health Department building to approve the service contract and the associated budget amendment. And Ms. Chestnut and myself have identified a source of funding within the health department's budget to fund the $20,350 study and plan, and that will let us know how much the whole entire project is going to cost, and then we will come back to the board with a plan on how we will fund the roofing project. Along with a state grant that was approved in the state budget for $146,065 to offset the cost of the project.
Pleasure to board.
So moved. Second.
Got a motion and a second. I won't read that motion again. He carried it word for word. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right, Mr. Brinson, 14.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few announcements that I'd like to bring to your attention before we go into closed session. First, a couple of events that are happening out at our event center. The Bulls, Bronx, and Barrels Rodeo will be held inside the event center this coming Friday, February the 11th. This is Friday night. And also this Saturday, February the 12th. Both shows are at 7 p.m. A Monster Truck Wars show will be held on Saturday, February the 19th. There'll actually be two shows that day, one at 1 p.m. and a second show at 7 p.m. They will also take place inside the event center. The 2022 Blue Brew and Q Outdoor Bluegrass Festival and Barbecue Cook-Off will be held on Saturday, March 26th. The gates for that will open at 11 a.m. I believe all of you should have received an invitation from the Dupin County Airport Commission. The Airport Commission, in partnership with you, the Board of Commissioners, the Dupin County Economic Development Commission, the North Carolina Department of Transportation Division of Aviation, the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, and the North Carolina Forestry Service, invites the Board of Commissioners for a ceremony and ribbon cutting to welcome the North Carolina Forest Service Eastern Aviation Hub to the Dupin County Airport. This ceremony and ribbon cutting will take place on Thursday, February the 24th at 1 p.m. Mr. Chairman, you're the on the Airport Commission. That will take place at the new hangars themselves,
yes,
or at the terminal building? At the,
yes,
new hangars?
Supposed to be at the hangar.
Okay, at the two new hangars that, mm-hmm, were constructed. I have been asked by Dr. Caraway at James Sprunt if I could possibly go ahead and schedule the annual joint meeting between the Board of Commissioners and the Board of Trustees for the Community College. This is normally held the morning after your first meeting in April, and this year that date would be Tuesday, April the 5th. Is that date good with the board? If so, I'll let Dr. Caraway know. Okay. Commissioner Branch?
I'm good.
Pretty good, okay. Commissioner Dowdy?
What time, may I ask again?
Normally, we convene about 7:30. Have a light breakfast and then carry on with the meeting. And in the last few years, we've been on there about 8:30, quarter to 9.
Okay, I have a 9 o'clock reason I was asking, but...
I think you'll be fine, Mr. Chairman.
If I can make that work, that'd be great.
Okay. Commissioner Dow, that date good with you?
That is fine with me.
Okay, thank you, sir. So I will schedule that with Dr. Caraway for Tuesday, April the 5th at 7:30 a.m. I do not know as of yet whether it'll be held at Ed Emory or on campus, but I'll get you that information as the date draws closer. The board retreat. I have a tentative draft agenda for the board retreat, and that, again, is scheduled for Friday, February the 18th, starting at 9 a.m. at the Dupin County Airport's conference room. I'm going to give you the draft agenda. If there's anything that a member of the board would like added to the agenda, or if you want to talk about any of the items prior to the meeting that are on the agenda, I will make myself available to you. So, with all that being said, Mr. Chairman, if I could now ask that the board go into closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143.318.11(a)(3) for legal matters, A5I for the possible acquisition of real property, and A5I for the possible sale of real property.
So moved.
Got a motion?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we move into closed session. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So we're back into open session. Any action that needs to be taken? All right, any of the board members have anything? All right, at this point, I would entertain a motion to recess.
So moved.
Got a motion?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we are recessed.